Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today in our discussion on prayer. The struggles and various unknowns we are facing often distracts us from the absolute need for prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, no matter what comes our way, we can rest assured that if we shall, then God will." So join in the conversation as we unwrap the simplicity of diverse prayers. Today, Janie, I would like to look at prayer as a public issue. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul was instructing Timothy that there would be times that we needed public prayer. And it says, "I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men."
Sharon, that is a great verse for describing the need for public prayer. And that was being taught to Timothy, not as a ritual that you must do supplications first and then you must do prayers. This is just an exhortation to Timothy to teach the value of public prayer, because there was trouble in their midst and Paul was having to depart and leave it with young Timothy. So he's giving him a general view that just don't let everybody pull back and go to their own corner and battle their own battles. Keep prayer public when the church is having a battle. Hold one another accountable, and you can listen to prayers of other people and really realize where they're struggling without them ever having to confess to you. You hear the public prayers as they confess it to the Lord.
And not just that, but I find that I'm encouraged by hearing others pray.
That
it gives me encouragement.
Yes, and it can, and I can learn through someone else's prayers, because we're each at different places growing.
Mm-hmm.
So it may be a babe that's praying and I can appreciate the simplicity.
Right.
Or maybe somebody's been in the Word for decades and they see the deeper things, but they're expressing them in a way that maybe I don't totally understand it, but it makes me hunger to know more.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that Timothy is told by Paul to do is supplications. So I think we can give a little bit of a distinctive of what these things are from other scriptures in the Bible that augment what this is said, such as in Ephesians 6:18, it tells us that we're to always pray in all prayer and supplication. But in the Spirit, it says this now in Ephesians.
Okay.
And that's after putting on all the armor of God. So we need to recognize that if we grieve the Spirit, our hearts are going to be dull and we will be insensitive in hearing and not seeing the needs of others.
So what is a supplication?
A supplication is really where we pray about someone else's needs.
Okay.
It can be health needs. It can be heart needs. It can be returning back to the fold, like the 99, but one was lost.
Right.
But we are directed towards the needs that we have right now here on earth. And that can include spiritual growth, but it's basically the needs that we see in others.
Okay.
Sometimes people can pray and maybe they'd say, well, I can't teach or I can't do this, but I can go get so-and-so and take them to the doctor. So you pray about how that can work around and just the logistics. So it can really get down to, Lord, do I take this family groceries? Will they accept them or will they not want to accept them?
Right.
So we need guidance as when and where to do just plain, simple tasks of mercy.
Okay. So then the benefits of corporate prayer has more to do with encouragement and coming together as one body of Christ.
Yes, because stop and use a practical illustration. Let's just say there is a massive problem going on, and two family members might be talking about it, and they're just perplexed and they don't know what to do. So they call the family, and the family is all local. And the next thing you know, in the next hour or so, you've got 10, 12 people there, all bonding together, all praying together, and it makes a change. And that's why we are not to forsake ourselves to assemble together in the last days, because the Lord knew we were going to need that corporate expression. And that word corporate is even foreign to some people, but it just means us coming together as one in Christ as a body.
All right. So what is the difference between then prayers? If supplications is that, then what is prayers? Because the second thing that Paul shares with Timothy is prayers.
Well, in a nutshell, believe it or not, that simple word really reflects request, which God alone can meet.
Oh.
In other words, amplify that, all right?
Okay.
Impossible situations that we just cannot figure out. We have to remember about his power, his attributes, miracles, unique deliverances in the Bible, and then see them in our lives. Now, right now, we are facing a pandemic that no one can control.
Mm-hmm.
We think we've got it under control, and it just pops up, and we've got now new.
Every solution is not a solution at all.
At all, okay? Right. It's an impossible situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how God wants to remedy that, or what he wants to restore from man's foolishness, it's impossible. So we can stay at the throne room asking him to provide his deliverance.
Okay.
And in the interim time, we know many people are dying as a result of that, and that's perplexing. So for us to be persistent, because it says that we need to keep on praying, we need to always be in prayer.
Right.
And sometimes we say a prayer with our morning devotionals, and we're out the door, and we don't think anything about it until the next day. That's not prayers. Now, we've got some health concerns, and we've got broken hearts from the losses that people have had, and we've got negative attitudes that result in all of this ongoing trauma. We've been at this now for a good year and a half in its explosion.
Fear and anxiety.
Yes. So if we are caught up in any of those situations, and we don't have people supporting us in prayer, God is still sovereign. But as you said earlier, we get encouragement when we're mm-hmm. together listening to one another pray for us or for
right.
others, all right? And if we are not confident in who we are in our praying, we'll find out that we won't be able to be bold. And since there's a lot of warfare praying that is going on right now or needs to go on,
mm-hmm.
then we don't pray warfare praying without a bold spirit.
And prayers, in the definition that you gave me, that only God alone can meet these prayers, that's warfare praying. I mean, in warfare, God's the only solution.
You're talking to the general. You've got to be talking to the general.
Right.
You just can't be out there with another infantry person saying, well, what do you think we ought to do here? It's too big of an issue.
Okay.
All right. And the world is seeing that. Now, God has an eternal purpose for what all's going on or what he's allowing. He doesn't design sin, so we need to keep the distinction
right.
there. But he is the great physician. So let's just remember that to be bold, we've got to have a cleansed heart. We've got to have a yielding and a relying on the Holy Spirit. And we've got to have a strong conscience for the Holy Spirit to speak to us through. And then we have to be in the Word so we know what's being said.
Right.
All right.
And that builds our confidence as well.
And I've heard some prayers recently where people have just asked the Lord to get us out of this mess.
Mm. Yeah.
And I can appreciate that prayer, and I know the Lord hears that prayer, but that would not be really a prayer as described here. It needs to be deeper thought into and being relinquished your own ideas. I taught a lesson the other day, and I said, we need to get prepared to face death. Now, that's not being doomsday, because only when you have got your all on the altar, when you've got all of yourself at the cross, then you're free from all other fears.
Right, right.
And then you can be bold because the fears are gone and the principle and the objective is there. And you realize rather than bring shame upon the Lord Jesus Christ or deny him, he will empower you. But you've got to have a boldness. I don't mean a loudness, but
right.
a bold spirit.
Right.
And that takes us conditioning ourselves right now, Sharon. And some of us are not ready to condition.
Well, I think many people have been perplexed and it paralyzes them to even pray because of all the conflicting messages that they're getting. It causes anxiety and fears and frustrations.
And they don't know how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not so sure that that isn't where the disciples were when they said, Lord, teach us to pray.
Yeah.
Doesn't teach us to teach, but just teach us to pray.
Yeah, and really, Janie, that is so important for us to do, even with our children. We need to teach our children to pray. We need to teach our friends, our family. We need to be people of prayer so that they can be encouraged to be godly and know their position in Christ.
And be willing to stay when they find that they're in the heat of the fire.
Yeah.
And James is so good there, Sharon. In James 4, it tells us that we're going to have wars and fights. And that comes out from the inside of us. We mm-hmm. are antagonistic people, whether we live in Europe or Africa or America or Canada or wherever. So we need to recognize that if we don't have godly wisdom, which is outlined for us in James 3, then we're going to succumb to what it says here in James 4. Do you possibly have that passage? I'll kick it back to you so you can read
okay.
it.
From where come wars and fighting among you? Come they not here, even of your pleasures that war in your body?
Then read 2.
You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not.
Does that not sound like the 6 o'clock news right now?
Yeah.
All right. But here he is addressing a body of believers. But he had told them, you better get your act together and know godly wisdom, not earthly wisdom. He's teaching them to look back to the Father on heavenly things mm-hmm. that affect us here on earth.
Right.
But look what he says in verse 1. He says, do you not have these problems because your desire for pleasure? We have a lot of precious saints that are still prioritizing cruises and events and vacations and fishing trips and sailboating, mm-hmm. none of which is wrong.
Right.
But I'm not sure how the company of the A team would have been thinking about going out and sailing on the water that they were right next to for enjoyment when the enemy was firing at them.
Right. And you know, we hear a lot about the leadership being on vacation while, you know, the country is being attacked. And so we as Christians should be able to take some practical application to that and realize that, you know, we should be in battle mindset and not taken off on vacation mindset.
Well, and hopefully we'll have some leaders locally that can help us go forth. But if not, the Lord Jesus Christ will provide.
Well, don't you think that, you know, like you were saying earlier about people praying, well, Lord, just get us out of this. That's kind of a desire, even though that's not a vacation, that really is kind of a desire for escape rather than looking to see what they can personally do to pray the prayers of warfare that gives God all the glory.
Well, in that verse 3, it says you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. So it's not wrong that they're asking. It's not wrong that they're praying, but they ask amiss because they want to spend it on their pleasures. Now, that doesn't have to be some major debauchery of adultery or something like that.
Okay.
It's just praying, Lord, make it comfortable for us.
Yeah.
Make it so that we can rejoice in just the good things that you do.
Right.
But if you look at the history from the Word of God, Sharon, we've had a battle going on since the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
And you only see as the Israelites recognize their wretchedness and return to God, were they able to go forth in any power. But once they got that power and they got the good again, they start, you know, grazing in somebody else's pasture.
Right.
And the next thing you know, God's angry with them and says, I think I need to destroy this people because of our foolishness, of repetitiveness, of asking amiss and wanting our desires for pleasure to be answered.
Yeah.
So I think if there's anything we can share today is, people, you can only really be ready to live when you are ready to die for the cause of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. That sounds like a paradox.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we have other nations that
with religions.
Yes, and you know what? They are born to die.
Yeah.
When you see a little five-year-old holding an automatic rifle that can take out people and they know how to use them and they're ready to use them, they have perhaps a more committed mindset than what we do. They're born to give their life for why they were born.
Right.
We need to develop that in church.
Yeah.
But because we have the love of God, because we have hope, because we have assurance, sometimes we get a little sloppy in our comfort. And so the Lord sometimes has to let you see the dark side so that you will still praise
wake
him.
Wake up.
Yeah, that's it.
So you'll wake up.
Yep, yep.
And I think that the church has been asleep for quite some time. And it really is time for us to wake up. And I think that even through a lot of the issues that we've seen today, that there's still a great portion of the church that is asleep and just praying, like you said, help us out of this.
Well, or they've retreated back into their own home and are struggling because they don't want
isolation.
Yes, and they don't want to share all their problems that they think are probably menial to others, and they don't talk about them, but they battle alone. And I tell you what, there is a telltale sign though for some of us, and that is when we are always fatigued and we don't have the joy of the Lord, dig deeper, because they may need that person to come along and pray with them to help them out of that bondage of really pride, not wanting other people to know where they're struggling.
Well, and we need to go to intercession, and that's the next one on the list, Janie, that Paul shares with Timothy. He says intercession. So I think that's something that we don't really understand what that is. So what is an intercession?
Well, it's really where you give a petition to the King of Kings, to the High Priest, Jesus Christ, and you give a petition to him for a friend, and maybe it's their physical need, it's in a spiritual need, and sometimes the whole church needs to come together. But with intercession, there are people that are put on your heart specially. And like I gave you a situation this morning where we prayed.
Right.
Now, we did what we were supposed to, but is the Lord telling us to take up the issue there as an intercessor? If it is, we are going to stay constantly before the throne on that person's behalf. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't wash dishes or have conversation with somebody else, but that burden is like laying before you at all times.
Okay.
You will not stop until the Lord gives you the peace to stop. And okay. If it's in a case of a life and death situation, the Lord will let you know if he has a bigger plan, and you pray until he's home or she's home. And then the other thing that I learned years ago is when I really go into intercessory prayer, Sharon, it takes something out of my body. In other words, it is a focal point. It is I can agonize, not without hope, but just because of the extreme difficulty that the people or the person that I'm praying for is exhibiting.
Okay.
In Hebrews 13, it tells us to place ourselves with those that are in chains, that are in prison, as though we were there ourselves.
Right.
And I guess that's maybe the simplest way to explain intercession. You get into the battle with them. You may not be physically present to pick up a gun or to pull somebody away from a danger, but you are in that battle with them.
Okay.
And it's... I sigh because it takes a lot out of you to have that intensity on behalf of that person.
So when we talk about supplications, we talk about those being things that we can handle, that we're asking God to show us how we can do something to help someone. When we talk about prayers, those things are something that are impossible for us to do, but possible for God only, that he has to intervene in some way for there to be a solution. And then intercession is kind of combining the two. You know, we're standing in the gap for someone in bearing that burden of continually petitioning the Lord for this situation, even though that's something that we have no ability to change. But as the intercessor, that's actually what we can do.
Yes, and again, we could take each of these components today and make a whole lesson on them. So the audience needs to know we're giving a overview of what okay. It is, and I would hope that that they would take and proceed. There's a lot of good things out there to help guide you. There is the Ministry of Intercession by Andrew Murray.
Okay.
And that would be a place that I think that book is easily to still get, but that would be an excellent book to start off with your Bible and the scripture, seeing the insights, because he lived the life of an intercessor.
Okay.
And it's a good example for us. I want to also say that this is not a job for just the leadership in a church, okay? In Exodus 14, verses 13 through 15, there was a discussion between God and Moses pleading for deliverance, and God finally tells Moses, "Why do you cry to me? You tell your people to go forward into the Red Sea, and it'll part." In other words, they had the enemy coming from behind, and they mm-hmm. had the flooded Red Sea in front. It was impossible. And so Moses was pleading. And it kind of surprised me when I read this, that the Lord said, "Moses, just go forward and get into that water, and then the sea will part." Okay, now can you imagine having 600,000 people behind you and just saying, "Hey, I know it's flooding, but just start walking into it." You know, you'd look at your leader and think, man, the trip was did something to you. But the point I want to make is we have to go forward by faith with what looks like impossible, knowing that by faith it is possible because we have the power behind us. And so we can't pass that job of intercession off to somebody more spiritual or older.
Right, right.
We are all responsible to go forward. The little ones got to go through on dry ground in that Red Sea as well as the older ones.
Yeah, that's really good, Janie. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.